Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You can't just sigh in the middle of an update. What are you sighing for over
this
there?
This is this at
over
this
there,
time,
Larry David.
Tractor trailer carrying load of toilet paper crashes and burns on Texas interstates.
Oh no! Oh no! The prices will continue to skyrocket.
Of all the things to have happen at this time of life, a tractor trailer carrying toilet paper crashes and burns in Dallas County around 4 o'clock yesterday morning. Thousands of rolls of toilet paper were destroyed.
That's not good.
And they started out by telling you this is not an April Fool's joke. Who's doing that this year? We're taking a break from that.
April Fool's?
Right?
We took a break from St. Patrick's Day. I didn't realize it was St. Patrick's Day until about 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, it's St. Patrick's Day. April Fool's Day is today, so don't fall for any nonsense. But, man, that toilet paper burning.
Just like every day, don't fall for the fake Adam Schefter.
That's right. They're out there.
Some video games to come in. 69306. We power ranked our favorite sports video games in the 8:30 segment. NHL 99 for Nintendo 64. The Nintendo 64 was underrated. It didn't have the longest shelf life.
Did not last a long time at all.
The Nintendo track game, which Ryan, you had the mat for, right?
Oh, of course.
The math that you...
What a giant waste of money. I don't think that thing was that worked on any other game. I don't think it was only
I think that was the only game it worked for.
And you could run like the 400 or you could do hurdles, which were incredibly hard to do.
Incredibly difficult, but a lot of fun. Yes, a Nintendo track game is fun. RBI Baseball, yes.
I have the Wii. My wife and I used to get into like fights over tennis.
Yes.
You know?
The RBI Baseball, clear omission from all of our lists. I get that. Someone had their list. Mike Tyson. WWF, a steel cage, NBA Live 95, and Tecmo Bowl. It's a pretty good list.
Yeah. Mike Tyson's Punch Out, too. You know?
Yeah,
that's
Punch Out. Yeah,
out there.
Can't have Punch Out on there. I love this one. Hank Parker's Fishing and Bowling on Wii. I played the Hank.
It's good.
Unless their name was Hank Parker. I think it's Hank Parker Fishing and Bowling. I think it's the name of the game. And Golden Tee. Although Golden Tee was. I mean, if you could. I still, if I found the right price, I might be convinced to buy a Golden Tee like arcade game. I think those are
would. What's the right price for that, Josh?
Not much.
Like, are you talking hundreds? Or what are you talking about? Like how much are you willing to?
I mean, I got a guy. Let me know.
I know. Well, there used to be a guy. They fell off the back of the truck, but I don't know where.
Right,
he
is.
He might
anymore.
Be incarcerated.
My mother probably knows that.
Probably
guy, too.
So. But we have the. I don't know what size they are. They're like the half size arcades now that are sold. They're like $200 or something like that.
One you got last year.
Yeah,
for Christmas?
We had a couple of those. It was great. So that's kind of my price range. It's not much.
$200.
Not
okay.
Much more than that. $250 or so. You know.
All right.
But I don't. They do have a version of Golden Tee, but it's an old version, and the graphics aren't very good.
Yeah.
It's like a real pixely version of
you
Golden Tee.
Nah,
you don't want that one. Today in tourney history, we had a lot of national championship games on this date.
Well, it is April now.
There you go,
know.
Including a 1985 Villanova over Georgetown.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why they play the game and not just talk about them the day before. An improbable team when the tournament started, the biggest field of all time, 64 teams, the Villanova Wildcats will now go down in history with a 19. 19- the impossible. Raleigh, nobody thought they could do it.
Raleigh Massimino put him on the map, right?
Yes, it did.
You knew Raleigh Massimino's name just because of that
because
national
of that,
championship.
Because of that game.
1991, Duke, I think, kind of pre-hated Duke, won the national title.
First time I've seen Mike Krzyzewski smile. He knows he has that monkey off his back.
Although Hurley and Leitner
were hated. Leitner wants it. High pass for Leitner. Sees Davis. Woodbury intercepts. Final seconds. Jordan will put up the jumper. It doesn't matter. Duke has won its first national championship.
Yeah, we came here to win two games, and I think we were much more mature than the previous teams that have come. And these kids have had a great month of March, and it feels really good to finally win a game in April.
What year was that?
91. That was a point in time where Krzyzewski couldn't win it.
Couldn't win the big one.
They could go to the Final Four all the time, but they could never win it. And they finally got the monkey off the back.
Is there any sport that presents itself as somebody not being able to win the big one, like the NCAA tournament? I mean, is there anything else where you – like Andy Reid
depends who it is. Yeah.
But it seems like with the NCAA tournament, more and more coaches are looked at as the guys who can't win the big one, as opposed to realizing how hard it is to win in the NCAA tournament.
There's a little today in tourney history.
You mentioned Raleigh Massimino there, and people wouldn't know his name if it wasn't for that game. What if Jim Valvano doesn't win the championship with North Carolina State? Do we ever have the V Foundation, the ESPYs, the cancer research, and everything that comes along with that? Because to me, Jim Valvano was an unknown in 1983 when they won that. They weren't supposed to win that championship.
Right.
What if he doesn't win that college basketball championship?
He might not be on that stage.
He may not have that ability to raise the hundreds of millions of dollars that we raise. That win by Jim Valvano may be the most game-changing in life sports victory for everybody. Think about that for a minute, Josh.
A head coach spills the beans. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So we're going to have at least one new thing with the NFL this year, right? We don't know exactly, even though they plan on starting on time, which they told us yesterday, right? And they plan on playing the entire schedule. One new thing we know we're going to have is the expanded postseason beginning next season. They've already set the dates, January 9th and 10th, for Wild Card Weekend, which will have...
January 9th and 10th?
Yes.
That's
yes.
late.
Which will have six games, three triple headers.
Yep.
And
two triple headers.
Or two triple headers. I'm sorry. Saturday, Sunday, triple headers. Two, three, you know.
So a normal Sunday in the NFL.
CBS and NBC have picked up the extra games.
Yep.
They've also got offshoot
games.
Nice
of them to do that.
Yeah. we'll take this inventory off your hands.
Yeah.
But you felt like that was exactly what happened, right? Yes, we have bid to win these.
Yep.
As opposed to we have granted them.
All right, we'll clear out some advertisements for this.
Have the dollar figures come out for what they're going to ante up for those two games alone, which are probably ridiculous.
Josh, I want to say I saw $40 million, but I don't know if that's I don't know why that number's in my head, but that's what I feel like I saw.
For one game each? Or like for one more game?
Yeah.
Wow. Telemundo's going to pick up one of these two.
Yep.
And Nickelodeon.
Which is fantastic. This is a brilliant move by the NFL.
They haven't really gotten the specifics of what the Nickelodeon broadcast is going to entail, but obviously skewing towards a much younger audience.
Right.
Potentially with the playoffs.
How do you get the younger audience involved? Well, you've been inviting them to come watch Murder, She Wrote, for
Correct.
A while now, and you're not getting the younger audience to come to you. So what do? You go to them. And that's just a great, great, great job by the NFL. I don't want to say if it's marketing 101 to go to the client, but what this kind of reminds me of is remember back in the day when you'd be at a bar and like the liquor rep or the cigarette rep would walk around and pass out their products to everybody in the bar? They're going to give you the product that they want you to try and they want you to use and they want you to drink or whatever the case may be. They went to the consumer And that's what the NFL is doing in this situation. They want to get younger. They want to find the younger audience. They want to get the younger audience interested in the NFL. So let's go to the younger audience. We know they're sitting there watching Nickelodeon, so let's bring the product to them. And, man, if you're Major League Baseball, you're probably kicking yourself right now and going, oh, foiled again by the NFL. If it wasn't for that NFL, we'd be the number one sport in the world right now. But the NFL is always finding ways to do things that I just look at and go, damn, that's really, really good. They got a lot of smart people working in that National Football League front office.
We'll see. We'll see what the broadcast ends up being. I don't know which direction they would go because you can't skew too young, I wouldn't think. But Nickelodeon does skew very, very, very young. So, how you're going to exactly bring a playoff game in that?
Well, SpongeBob will be the sideline reporter.
I hope. I hope they go to those extremes where there's a combination of cartoon and reality.
Yeah.
Would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty awesome if that were indeed the
28% of Nickelodeon viewers or Americans who have watched Nickelodeon in the past month, 28% of them are 18 to 29 years old.
Yeah, that's the wheelhouse that you want to be in. And so
I was even thinking it was younger than
younger.
That.
I would have too. But so who are like the popular people on Nickelodeon right now? Like, who are the main people that are on Nickelodeon right now? Those are the people that I would have part of that broadcast, whether they're in the booth calling the game or whether they're down on the sidelines, whether they're doing the pregame type of stuff. You've got to get the people that the kids, if you will, like and identify with and watch on Nickelodeon. Like, what are the most popular
shows? So the People's Choice, the Kids' Choice Awards,
right,
Twitters, Ryan, that will all be hosting.
Stuff. Yeah, like that's who you have to get involved. You can't roll out Nance and Romo on Nickelodeon and just put the game there and think people are going to watch it.
I don't think Keenan and Kel are making anybody
Whoever it is, you got to gear the game towards the kids to give them the people that they watch and that they like and that they enjoy. You just can't give them Nance and Romo and say, here it is, kids, on Nickelodeon, put SpongeBob in the corner dancing. Like, you've actually got to tailor the game to your audience at that point in time. I think there's so much available for the NFL to do with this. I like it a lot. I think it's cool.
Plus, I think it opens us up to using the Double Dare style obstacle course at the end of the game to determine a winner.
Which you've been pining for years.
I don't know if Mark Summers is going to be part of this thing or not.
I don't know. I think it's going to be great.
Ryan's rooting for overtime just to get some Double Dare.
Pick the red flag out of somebody's nose.
Very much looking forward to it. Them going through those two big rollers and stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sound like a real old man pronouncing this. JoJo Siwa? Is that how you're... Siwa?
Curtis Sliwa?
Yeah, JoJo is one of the Nick characters.
I remember Casey and JoJo all my life.
My brother bought tickets to that concert.
Like you.
Girl stood him
Casey
up. I had to go.
JoJo?
Yeah, a girl stood him up. I had to go with him like the day before the concert. The girl called and told him. Well, I guess it wouldn't stand up, and because she told him she wasn't going to go.
Who your brother?
Yeah, and so I wound up going and sitting like third row at Casey and JoJo with my brother.
How was that?
It was a delightful concert.
Good show. Where did they
play? Tremendous. It was the old Sandstone.
Oh, okay.
Good
venue.
God, easily like 99, something like that.
Right in the wheelhouse of Casey and JoJo.
I think it was Boys to Men was there with them too.
That's a good show.
It was a big concert.
Some of the shows they're promoting now, Henry Danger, SpongeBob SquarePants, of course.
Something called The Loud House.
A couple Lego shows. Alvin and the Chipmunks. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there's all kinds of opportunities.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity.
A lot of Paw Patrol going on.
Real good talent.
Ryan's Mystery Playdate. Also very excited from Ryan's World.
They really do have a lot of opportunity.
Instead of the yellow flag thrown, penalties will be sliming. That from the text line 69306. And if the winning coach doesn't get slimed, then I ain't watching.
I'm 100% with
forget that. The Gatorade bucket.
I thought it would have to be the losing coach that gets slimed.
That's true. The losing coach gets slimed. The winner gets the
Gatorade
bucket.
Still? Okay, we can tweak those.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm going to watch it on Nickelodeon, too. This is the Chiefs.
Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints, may have slipped up. Is this it for Drew Brees?
And then the unique situation with our team and with our quarterback, Drew Brees, is he's announced he's coming back for his final season. I think Taysom sees himself as being a starting quarterback in this league, and we do too.
Peyton on ESPN saying he's announced he's – is he coming back for his final season?
Well, according to Peyton,
he's coming back in 2020.
Drew Brees will be playing for Tampa Bay. In 2 years or
I guess he knows he's got that Monday Night Football contract in 2021 for Drew Brees.
Drew Brees on Nickelodeon.
Kind of slipped up. Baseball helped get us back to normal once before, and he was there former MLB manager Bobby Valentine will join us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Lopez wants it away.
And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza and the Mets lead 3-2.
Take a look at this. He's got as much power as anybody. He got the arms extended. A long home run. And a curtain call. So Piazza, a two-run home run, and this place exploded. It's been waiting to explode all night. Well, Mike Piazza.
0-1 to Robin Ventura.
This crowd was ready. They wanted to shout and scream all night. And boy, did they get an opportunity from Mike Piazza.
They played baseball at Shea Stadium since 1964. I don't know how this game or even this season is going to turn out. But that may rank among the handful of most memorable home runs in the history of this ballpark.
The New York Mets broadcast on the call. ESPN actually ran this game last night as well, a series of classic game broadcasts. But September 21st, 2001 at Shea Stadium, Braves and Mets. And hearing that again, Bob, my first reaction was, oh, yeah, that home run, they didn't stop playing after the home run. You know, like, yeah, there was still game to be played because he was like, he was trying to describe the next pitch. You're like, wait a minute here. This was a huge home run on a huge stage on one of the most memorable nights in baseball.
Yeah, it really was one of the most memorable nights in sports history, and really the first game in New York City after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Bobby Valentine joins us. He was the manager of that ball club. And Bobby, I got goosebumps watching that game again last night. A kid who grew up in New Jersey, obviously, you know, the 9/11 terrorist attacks hit me as much as it hit you guys being there at that time. But watching that game again last night, Bobby, and seeing the pregame hugs that you guys shared with the Atlanta Braves gave me goosebumps. I can't imagine what it was like being you on that night.
Oh yeah. Good morning. I hope everyone's safe out there that's listening, and I hope you guys are too. Yeah, that was an amazing night. It was an amazing, 10 days from 9/11 to 9/21, where the world had changed, and it's changing now again. And the hugs before the game were symbolic. You know, I remember calling Bobby Cotts and saying, hey, Bobby, you know, we have to show unity. And, you know, there was no love lost between Bobby and I, that's for sure. And it was a real easy thing to do, to walk out there and embrace before the game, because we really knew we were in it together, even though we were really fighting against each other tooth and nail the entire decade.
You know, I was at Arrowhead Stadium when the Giants came here that weekend for the first NFL game, you know, after 9/11, and obviously the Giants were involved. My dad flew out from Jersey, came to the game. It was really emotional for everybody at that game here in Kansas City. What was the emotion like inside Shea Stadium that night from you guys and from the fans that were at that game?
Well, it changed, that's for sure. It went from trepidation, where everyone was nervous, had no idea what to expect. We're just a couple miles away from LaGuardia Airport. Normally, planes took off and landed over Shea Stadium. On this particular day, there were no planes taking off or landing, but people didn't know that coming into the game. And, we went from being nervous to being anxious to crying during God Bless America, National Anthem. There was a little smile with tears during the chorus line that the first responders all did during the Liza Minnelli New York, New York song. And then, of course, there was absolute pandemonium when Mike hit the home run. So if you had the needle, it went from zero to off the charts as far as emotions are concerned. And I still get chills and other things thinking about it. It was the first time I saw the game last night on replay. I saw it live, obviously. I had only a couple nights sleep in probably 10 days, and I was sleepwalking. A lot of the guys were sleepwalking. Remember, we were all in the state of protection. You know, we had the uncertainty of what happened and who did it, along with the fear that it could happen again. Hey, doesn't that sound like the news that you're watching today?
What went into the decision to not watch that game since?
Probably just that I've been doing stuff. You know, I it probably was on YouTube. I never went to YouTube. I didn't have a copy of it to put it in and play it. So, you know, that it was on last night, I took the opportunity and was happy that I did.
Captive audience has got us all when a situation like that presents itself. We talked a lot of, you know, coaches, players, the world of sports kind of lives in a kind of one game at a time. No game is bigger or smaller. This one had to be different. What do you remember of telling your team going into this one?
Well, I remember telling them that we were all dealing with the same emotion, and that emotion was the emotion of fear. And, you know, athletes understand that. They have the fear of failure. And the way we combat that fear of failure every time we go out to perform is through practice and repetition. And that builds confidence, and confidence is just courage. And there was no way of practicing for what we were doing. So I told them to embrace that emotion that they were experiencing, and know and understand that fear is disguised as excitement. So try to be as excited as they could possibly be about doing something that will never be done again.
Talk with Bobby Valentine, former big league manager here on 610 Sports Radio. And Bobby, you know, that game, as you just mentioned a little bit ago, did something for America that we kind of need right now. And we're kind of in that same situation, obviously to a different level than we've ever been with anything in this country before. How do you think sports this time around can be used to heal, just like it was when you were part of that back in 2001?
Well, I'm not sure it will be the same, but it very possibly could be. All wins in life deal with a couple things that are paramount, and one is trust, and the other is teamwork. You know, the players had a trust that Major League Baseball was making the right decision. It was not an easy sell to have them trust that. And I think the showing of unity before the game took teamwork to another level. So can we do that again? Can we start to establish the trust that's needed in our country for the next event that we'll all try to share together? And can there be the teamwork that's needed in order to win? I mean, this is a formidable enemy that we're fighting right here, and we're not going to do it by being divided. The only way we're going to conquer this situation is by being united.
What do you think baseball should do, Bobby? Do you think they should get back to playing without fans? Do you think they should play into November? Like, what would be your ideal plan right now if they asked you?
Well, I think the season, the integrity of the season, has a place in our fabric. And I think that we need to devise a new look season that will give a champion a credible crown. And that's what why people watch the game, and that's why they root for their home team to see if, in fact, their team could be the last one standing. So I think it's necessary to provide a couple hours of enjoyment, relaxation, a chance to get away. Everyone needs to have a feeling of familiarity with something that they are affectionately connected to. And that's what the sport needs to bring back to our fabric, that familiar feeling of comfort.
Did you feel that after 9/11 that they needed to get back to that comfort level? Or did you feel at that point in time, maybe we should just end sports right now for the rest of the year, or end baseball for the rest of the year?
Well, I had a lot of question on whether or not we should come back. I was dealing with a lot of families on a first-time basis, a first-hand basis. I was going to funerals. I was still hoping and wishing during that week that we were going to pull some survivors out of the rubble downtown New York. So I was distracted a bit, but all leaders need to follow a leadership path. And I think that, you know, a guy I worked for in Texas, George W. Bush, was then the commander-in-chief, and he believed that it was right for us to get back out on the field. And I followed that lead when I made the call to those who needed to perform that night. And I think it was the right decision.
Yeah, you were going, as you mentioned, you were going through all kinds of things. Was it, I want to say, therapeutic for you to be in the dugout on that night?
Well, it was therapeutic, yes. It was a familiar surrounding. You know, I wasn't comfortable in St. Patrick's cathedrals with bagpipes playing. I wasn't comfortable knocking on doors of families who were in search of their lost family member. I was very familiar with being in uniform and trying to lead a group into battle, and I enjoyed that bit, those few hours of, you know, of kind of fantasy land. You know, I remember the things that were going on then. You know, put it in perspective, though, you know, there's no commercial flights. Now there's very limited commercial flights. I remember when we opened up the season a couple days before 9/21, we opened up in Pittsburgh. Our team was flying in commercial. I decided to fly. I mean, we were flying charter. I decided to fly commercial and went to LaGuardia Airport to get on a plane. And it was like a, it was empty. There were hundreds of people in the entire terminal that usually had tens of thousands. So, you know, I continued to be invested in trying to heal the wounds of individuals that I was in contact with in the entire community that was kind of watching what we were doing. But I also was invested in trying to do my job in leading a team into battle.
Did you have much contact with the president during that time, Bobby, with your prior relationship to working for him with the Rangers? Did you talk to him at all after 9/11 and before you guys, you know, went back out onto the field?
Yeah, when he came down to Ground Zero, there was communications that went on. I didn't get to get up on the rubble with him because I was in the Chase Stadium parking lot trying to be a way station for those who needed supplies down in Ground Zero. But yeah, there were messages going back and forth, and you know, he was a great leader at that time. He stood strong, even though some people questioned the timing of everything he did. I think that he put on the right face and said the right things at the right time.
Before we let you go, and we appreciate the time today, Bobby Valentine, former Mets manager, managing the Mets right after 9/11. You said to devise a new look season that would give you a credible champion. What would be a good enough season for you where we would get a credible champion in baseball?
Wow. That's a heck of a question, and I'm going to leave that up to smarter people. I think that there are metrics out there that could give numbers that would prove that everything was going to have an asterisk, but it's also going to be credible. And I'm not sure what exact formula that is.
Bobby Valentine, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, stay safe, will you? And make sure everyone who's listening does the right thing.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on this morning, Bobby Valentine, here on 610 Sports Radio, also an athletic director up in Connecticut, and they're trying to, run an athletic department, where he is as well, and try to raise money to build new buildings. I think they got like a $60 million fundraising drive going on. They're trying to raise money for up there, so it's not an easy time for anybody, but man, just the perspective of Bobby Valentine, I started to get kind of choked up a little bit when he was talking about going down to Ground Zero and still trying to pull survivors out of the rubble, and that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to pull survivors out of this coronavirus, epidemic that's going on. And that's why it is so important just to stay home. Stop thinking about yourself and think about everybody else. Staying home is the best choice for everyone at this point in time.
The results are in. We're down to four. We'll get to it next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Remember, all wins in life deal with a couple things that are paramount, and one is trust, and the other is teamwork. The players had a trust that Major League Baseball was making the right decision. It was not an easy sell to have them trust that. And I think the showing of unity before the game took teamwork to another level. So can we do that again? Can we start to establish the trust that's needed in our country for the next event that we'll all try to share together? And can there be the teamwork that's needed in order to win? I mean, this is a formidable enemy that we're fighting right here. And we're not going to do it by being divided. The only way we're going to conquer this situation is by being united.
Former Major League Baseball manager Bobby Valentine joined us in the last segment. Fantastic conversation. His thoughts, remembering. Also, he watched the game that was airing last night, actually.
Yeah.
Of the first game in New York post 9/11 involving the Mets and the Braves. And we may eventually get a return to quote-unquote normalcy via sports, via baseball. And can it have that kind of impact? We'll see.
Yeah, and Bobby said something there, being united to conquer this thing that we're going through right now, and he's right about that. I mean, I'm seeing people on Twitter feeling still the need to be out and going out and whether it's playing golf or whatever the case may be. That's a selfish act. I mean, stay at home right now. Let's all do this together, because the same folks that are complaining about not being able to go anywhere are the same ones that are going to be complaining in another month when this thing continues to get extended that they can't go anywhere anymore. And so if we nip this thing in the bud and do what we're supposed to do in the short term, it will have long-term effects that won't be as bad as we potentially could be facing right now. Like people have to understand, we are all in this together. Your actions legitimately factor into my life right now. And that's what I think a lot of people don't seem to understand when they're out there partying. I mean, it's come to the point now, Josh, where we're taking down basketball hoops, tennis nets, locking up parks, doing all that kind of stuff, because people just can't listen and stay at home. We have to be in this together, and being in this together means staying at home and doing things in your house and making sure you're not going out there and spreading this virus around right now.
The hearing Bobby Valentine, though, makes me like look forward to that, whatever that first game is and what have you. Nowhere near the emotional impact not even the same stratosphere of what the emotional moments that game had in its return, or probably the football game, as you mentioned. The NFL was actually underway previous to that game in New York. Granted, not in New York, but while the situations there are some parallels to what it can mean returning to normalcy. The emotional part, not
the
even
emotional
close.
Part won't
not
even be close.
Not even close.
No, absolutely close. Right. And that's the thing. I mean,
so people, I appreciate him sharing his stories about that because and that's one of those you can't forget about how heavy that weighed on New York specifically.
Right.
But the United States as a whole.
But I don't think we're going to go to our first sporting event when this is over and everybody's going to be crying and hugging and that kind of emotional
thing. It's going to be more of a relief to be out.
It's more of a sense of relief to be out, to be able to live our lives again. It's not going to be an emotional type of response like we saw after 9/11.
We are down to four in the Gone But Not Forgotten bracket. That's right. The voting is now complete, and we are down to four. All Chiefs. The final royal has been dispatched from this list, everyone. Keila Kaihui. Out in the Bob Hamlin region. Dexter McCluster, the four seed, advancing 63-37 over Keila Kaihui.
Okay.
To advance to the semifinals.
To the final four.
To take on the Exoc region winner, which was Andy Studebaker.
All right.
Who wins out of the Exoc region with 69% of the vote.
Very nicely done, Andy.
Over Mike Maslowski, the five seed. From the Gino Schiraldi region, our closest race, the 7 seed Louis Aguiar beats the 8 seed Barry Word in a tight one, 53-47. So Aguiar advances. And the biggest route goes to Tamarik Vanover, the 8 seed coming out of the Boomer Grigsby region, all over the 2 seed Bam Morris.
So your final four are all former Chiefs.
That's right. Tamarik Vanover, Louis Aguiar, Andy Studebaker, Dexter McCluster.
McCluster and Studebaker played together. Aguiar and Vanover played together, if I'm not mistaken.
The Gone But Not Forgotten bracket is down to four. So voting will get underway tonight. As always, once Ryan gets the kids to bed,
right,
he will have it posted this evening.
It's and bath night, too, so it might be a little later.
It could be a little bit later. Okay, that's right. So voting will get underway at some point tonight at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. So have some more fun with that. We're down to four. The Gone But Not Forgotten bracket. That'll do it for us on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!